On Daf Mem Gimel Amud Beis, five lines down from the top. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hapigul VeHaNosar VeHaTomei Shehelon LeGabi Mizbeach Poka Isur Mehen. So this statement speaks about three cases. We have Basar Pigul, which means that the Kohen had a Machsheves Pigul Chutz Lizmano during one of the various avodos, nosar, which is kodshim, that weren't eaten within the time allotment, and they passed the time allotment, vatamei, which means that if the kodesh became tamei, the kodshim became tmeim, if in any of those three cases it was put on top of the mizbeach, even though it shouldn't have been done so, because these are psulei kodshim, but nevertheless, paka isur mehem, which means that we remove the isur, and if somebody eats them, in the cases of pigul nosar tomei that were helon al gabi mizbeach, there's no chiyuv for that. That's the statement here of Rabbi Yochanan. Let's just add the following. Rashi says paka isuron, which means with regard to the isur pigul, that even if This kodshim shenispaglu after pigul was placed on the mizbeach and then it was taken off the mizbeach, we're allowed to put it back onto the mizbeach, which means im yerdu is nevertheless olim al gabi mizbeach. Now, as far as nosar and tamei is concerned, there we're talking about whether you're chayev for the achila. Now, the Bach has an interesting pshat based on his understanding of Rashi, that the Isur and the Chiyuv Kares in the case of Achila Shel Pigul is not Paka. In other words, even if the Pigul was put on the Mizbech and it started burning, the only Hafka here, when we say Paka Isur Mehem, is only with regard to this din of Im Yardu Ya'alu. However, it still remains pigul, and if somebody would eat from that, he would still be chayev kares. Now, in the case of komets, then benkach, there's no chayev kares in achilas komets, because as we saw in our Mishnah, it's not yesh lo matirin, because the komets itself has no heter. And basically, according to the Bach, since Rashi frames this halacha of pigul in terms of im olu, im yardu olim, that you put it back on, Rashi is indicating that there's no hafkas iser karis pachilas pigul. That remains constant. Now, with regard to the cases of Nosar and Tomei, which are also included here in the list of Rabbi Yochanan, so we have a chiddush here in the name of the Tzon Kodshim, one of the achronim, famous achronim on Kodshim, and he says that we shouldn't derive from Rashi, be medagdik in Rashi, who did not write with regard to the Isur Pigul, what he wrote Le'inyan Nosar V'Tumo, because Rashi was writing Lefi HaEmes, that Rabbi Yochanan is talking about a case of Achizas Ha'or, where the fire was already burning, and therefore that's considered a Hafkav Pigul. And Rashi wants to tell you, even with regard to Im Yered Yala, however, as far as the Isra Achil is concerned, even without the Achizas Ha'or, the Isur Pigul was Mufka. So this is the exact opposite of the way the Bach wanted to interpret. So again, just to summarize, the Bach's interpretation of Rashi is that even after Achiza Sa'or, the Pigul remains Pigul and generates an Isur Karis Bachiloso, whereas its own Kodshim understands that even without Achiza Sa'or, Yemafkia the Shem Pigul, once it's on the Mizbeach, and Rashi wants to tell you just an extra Chidush, that in Yorad Yalashuv, and that depends upon Achiza Sa'or. Now, with regard to the Isur Nosar and Tomei, Rashi says that it's Pakash Lo Yischayev Ochel Midi. The Keren Ora has a question about that. He says, Lachmo shel mizbeachu, and therefore you should be chayav for what's called kolil tia. So when Rashi says, lo yischayav ha'ochel midi, as if to say he's completely exonerated from any punishment, that's very difficult to understand, because we're saying that the hafkas iser nosar or tameh is because the mizbeach grabs onto this, becomes lachmo shel mizbeach, but then there should be a chiyuv for eating it because kol il tia. And this is a sugya mesech the makis on daf yud ches amid beis. So how could Rashi possibly postulate here that there would be a heter achila when he says lo yischai v'ochlo midi meaning at all? And the one who addresses this is Reb Chaim Ozer in the Achiezer, and he wants to suggest that if you have something that was nifsal but it has a heter l'mizbeach because it became lachmo shel mizbeach, is there a lav of kol il tia or not? And he wants to suggest that according to Tosis, the lav of kol il tia applies only in a case of ksherim, but not in a case of psulim. In other words, when there's a kiyum of kol il tia because it's a korban kosher, then there's going to be a lav generated by kol il tia, but not in a case of something that's posel. Now, the Lorach Lener and Tzofnas Panech are quoted here in the note. They write that psulim, these type of psulim, have a din of im olu lo yeredu, that if they're up on the mizbech, you don't take them down. But they do have the lav of kol tia, even though they're up psulim. And this is not the interpretation of Reb Chaim Ozer. Now, the Gemara asks the following question. Omar Av Chizda, Mori Dichi, Mori means the Mori, the Baal, Dichi of this Shmua. And that's an introduction of an exclamation, you know, that he wants to say something that he's absolutely flabbergasted. He says, the Chiyam Mizbeach Mikveh Tarahu, does the Mizbeach have a din of a Mikveh, that you can be Mitaira Korban Tomeh? Some of the Achronim claim that Rav Chizda is only raising an objection to the din of Tomei. How can you be Mafkia Tumah without a mikvah? Are we saying that the Mizbeach serves as a mikvah? Rabbi Zera now tries to explain Rabbi Yochanan with regard to Pigel, Noser, and Tomei. And he says, Shemashla Behen Ha'ur, which means that we're talking about cases in which he put him on the Mizbeach, and the burning, the Haktorah process began, and therefore it became Lachmo Shel Mizbeach, and therefore Mafkia the Isur Pigul Nosar and Tomei, and therefore there's no Chiyuv for eating them. Masiv Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna, Rav Yitzchak is going to quote a Braisa, and this Braisa is addressing the case of a Chiyuv Kares of a person who eats Kodesh Betumah. The Gemara later on is going to bring a brisa, and in this brisa actually in its fleshed out in its shleimus, and then the Gemara is going to try to explain the brisa. But be that as it may, Rabbi Yitzchak is only quoting the last part of the brisa. So whatever we're saying now is actually the first part of the brisa. It's not in the text of the Gemara itself. Rabbi Yitzchak is not quoting the resha of the brisa, but the resha addresses the case. The pasuk says in Vayikra Zayin, "Va'nefesh asher tochal basar." Which means, if a person has tumas haguf, he contracted tumah, and now he eats kodesh, that's a chiyuv kares. So the Braisa, in the beginning part of the Braisa, quotes the Tanoim, asking, how do you know that this pasuk is referring to tumas haguf, where the person eats the karbon, the kachim, and he's tummy? Maybe it's referring to tumas basar, where the person might be tar, but he's enjoined with an isukaris from eating basar kodesh that was nitma. So that's going to be the subject of the sugya in just a few minutes. But right now, in the second part of this brisa, quoted here by Rabbi Yitzchak, Acherim Omrim, others are of the opinion that we can prove from this pasuk that we're talking about an Adam Tomei who eats Basar Kodesh Tar, So we're talking about tumas haguf, and we're not talking about a tar who eats basar tame, because the pasuk says v'tumaso olav, which means olav means right now there is tuma, he is tame, and that means misha tumaso parachas mimenu. The fact that the pasuk says now he's tame implies that he could become tar. That's called in the Lashon Hashas tuma parachas mimenu, that the tumor will later be removed, it will fly, so to speak, up to the heavens at through a process of purification when he's metire himself. And that's why the pasuk had to add the word olav to teach you that he, the person who's eating this kodshim, hanefesh tochal basar mizbeach hashlamim, he's tumaso olav. He's Tameh. Not that the Basar is Tameh, but he's Tameh. Now, the Achirim want to prove that this pasuk of Tumaso Olav is referring to the Tumas HaGuf of the person and not to the Tumah of the Karbon, which you're not allowed to eat. Based on the fact that it's Tumaso Olav, that right now he's Tameh, the Torah is telling us, as if to say that he will become Tar. And this excludes the case of Basar, Yatza Basar. If the Basar contracted Tuma, let's say the Basar came in contact with the Sheretz, for example, is Ein Tuma Parachas Mimenu. There's no way that you can retire the Basar. You can put the Basar in all the mikvahs in the world, it still remains Tameh. Therefore, we prove that the Pasuk here is not addressing the case of Basar Tameh, because that's not something that can be Metire itself. That's not called Tuma Parachas Mimenu, but rather that the Adam is Tameh, and he could be Metire himself by going to a mikvah, being Tovel in a mikvah. And now Rav Yitzchak, based on this quote of the Braisa, is going to ask his Kash. V'im Isa, if you're going to tell me that we accept Rav Yochanan, that Basar Kodesh Tameh, that even when there's tuma in the Basar Kodesh, if you put it up on the Mizbeach, the Achza Boha Eish, and the fire is already starting to burn up the Basar, is Paka Yisuro, then you can, in effect, be Metaher, even Tumas Basar. That's also considered a Tuma Parachas Mimenu. Hare, Tuma Parachas Mimenu Al Yidei Ha'ur. You could, instead of using a mikvah to remove the tumah, what you can do with basar kodshim is you put it on the mizbeach, and then you light the fire. The fire now becomes a purifying agent, because according to Rabbi Yochanan, the fire itself is now enough to remove the shame isur tameh on the basar. So if that be the case, then we don't understand the proof of this braisa, the achirim in the braisa, that the pasuk is not talking about basar tameh. It could be talking about basar tameh, and basar tameh is olav, no less than tumas haguf is olav, because it's going to pass, and that's going to happen when you put the basar tameh on the mizbeach and the achizas haor. So again, the only way of understanding this price, so claims of Yitzhak Bar Bisna, is to assume that Tumas Basar could never be removed. There's no din of Hafka, even Al Yidei Ha'esh. And this is against Rabbi Yochanan. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rava, Al Yidei Mikvah Ka'amrinan. What the Achirim meant in the Braisa, that there's no Tuma Porachas Menu in the case of Basar, is not that you can't remove the state of Isa Tuma, but rather, you cannot do so through the method, the classical method of mikvah. The tuma cannot be removed through tefillah b'mikvah, in the case of tumas basar. Again, if it's tumas haguf in the gabra, he can go into the mikvah. But not in the case of tumas basar, there's no tara b'mikvah. And therefore, we exclude in understanding this pasuk the case of a tar who's eating basar tameh. So Gemara doesn't like Rava's answer. Midei mikvah ksiv? Does the pasuk say anything about mikvah, that therefore the Braisa would hold that we're talking about a case of tumah parachas al yidei mikvah and not al yidei ha'esh? Nothing of the sort is mentioned in the pasuk. And therefore we go back to the question on Rabbi Yochanan. Why does Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, does the Braisa say tumah parachas? And that means only in the case of Adam is there Tumah Parachas, but not in the case of the Basar. Ella Omer Papra Papra now offers a different method of interpreting this brisa. B'basar shlomim askinon, we're talking about the pasuk of basar of korban shlomim, the lochazi lakrova. It's not right to be brought on the mizbeach. Why? Because the din of basar shlomim is that it's nechal. It's nechal both for the Yisrael the Bailim, it's nechal for Kohanim. Therefore, nitma basar, that's not a tuma parachas mimenu. Liolam, it's not parachas mimenu because it's not royal mizbeach. You can't do anything with basar shlomim. Put it on the mizbeach, it's not going to become lachmo shel mizbeach because that's not where the basar belongs. It's not on the mizbeach, it belongs in the mouth of a person, whether it be lezikrei kuna in certain cases, whether it be for any bailim. And in fact, since we're talking about shlomim, we're certainly talking about bailim who are not kohanim. So therefore, Rav Papa is suggesting that if we're talking about basar shlomim, then the question is whether it's chazi la krova or not chazi la krova. What about the status of the basar? And the basar is not roi la krova because it doesn't have a din of hakrovitz, has a din of a nechal, meaning you give it to the Israel of the Kohen. Therefore, if nitmar basar, that's not tuma parachas mimenu liolam, because since it's not royal mizbeach, then you can't call it tuma parachas. There's no way you can make it into lachmo shel mizbeach and therefore be mafkia the iser of pigul or nosar or tomei, whatever it might be. So Ravina offers an alternative answer. Vitum aso olav in this pasuk, it's talking about misha tuma parachas mimenu kishu shalem. Notice you don't have to start burning anything or removing anything. In the the tumah will eventually be removed and tahara will replace tumah. So that's what vitumasa olav means. That it's going to be something that's roi shetifrach mimenu atumah, that it received tumah, it was contaminated, now the tumah can fly away, can be removed, just like it was initiated, now it could be terminated. And that's certainly a reference to tumas aguf for the person. Yotza basar, to exclusion of someone who's eating basar tameh, because in the case of basar tameh, it's a davar she'ein tuma parachas k'shu sholem el k'shu chaser. The only way, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, that you could achieve this heter on tameh is only after achiza sa'ar. Then it becomes tahar, but that's not sholem. It means part of the entity, part of the object is completely consumed. It's gone from this world. That's not so in the case of tumas aguf. There's a tumas aguf which Baruch Hashem, the tumah is parachas mimenu, and he doesn't remain tameh. Now we're going to go back to the reish of the brisa that was quoted here by Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Bisna, and the Gemara says gufa. The Baisa quotes a pasuk in Vayikra Zayin that we mentioned earlier. Vanefesh asher tochal basar mizevach hashlom asher Hashem v'tumaso olav v'nichrso hanefesh ahi me'ameha. So there's a chiyuv kares for eating the basar, and the question is why, or what is the scenario? You can offer two possibilities. You can say it's tumas aguf, that the gavra who's eating the basar kodshim, he's tameh. Or you can suggest that maybe we're talking about tumas basar, that the basar kodshim is tameh, the gavra's tar, but he's not allowed, he's enjoined from eating basar tameh. So the Braisa states the following, that when it says in the pasuk b'tumaso olav, b'tumas aguf hakosim b'dabe, we're not talking about tumas basar, basar kodesh I mean, but rather we're talking about tumas aguf. And how do we know this? Because in the pasuk that comes before this, which is Pasuk Yutes, it says at the end of the Pasuk, Kol Tahar Yochal Basar. So we're talking about the Gavra, and if he's tar, he can eat the kodshim, he can eat the basar. And then the very next pasuk says, "Va'nefesh tel tochal basar mizevach hashlam asher tumaso olav," meaning he is tamei, then v'nichrusa. So if you link our pasuk, which is pasuk chaf, which establishes kares, with the last words that came before this pasuk, at the end of pasuk yutes, then you clearly understand that we're talking about a punishment, a chiyuv kares, for someone who's tamei, he's got tumas aguf, and he's eating kodesh. Not for the case of someone who's eating kodesh shenitma. And as we go along, this will become clearer, Mirtz Hashem. The Braisa now presents, so to speak, a challenge to itself, and says the following: Ata omer b'tumas aguf o'eino ele b'tumas basar. Let me be argumentative and say that the language of a tumaso olav is more mashma, that olav means on the basar. Now the reason for that is because the basar is lashon zachar, it's a grammatical masculine, and it says olav. And that makes sense if we're talking about the basar itself. The basar is olav, is zachar, lashon zachar. If you're talking about the adam, then in this particular context, the Torah uses the word the grammatical feminine nekeva, lush nekeva, to describe the Adam, because it says vaynefesh asher tochal, which is the opening words in our pasuk chaf. Nefesh is clearly feminine, and it's gonna repeat itself at the end of the pasuk. V'nichrasa hanefesh ahi me'ameh. V'nichrasa, referring to the nefesh, so that's in the keva. So therefore, it's almost attractive to maintain that the words all that the words v'tumaso olav are referring to the guf habasar. So the Braisa clarifies this. How do I know it's not the guf habasar that became tov, rather the gav for the odom that became tov, v'tumas haguf? Nemar kan, it says v'tumaso olav, v'nemar lahalon. This is in the parasha in Chukas, in Bamidbar Yutes, with regard to someone who comes into the Migdash when he's Tomei. And there it says, Tomei Yia Od Tumaso Bo. Is Malahalan, just like there in the case of Bigdash, Bias Migdash Be Tumo, we're talking about the Gavra being Tomei, Tumas Aguf. HaKosva, it's Afkan here too, with regard to the punishment of Koris Rachilus Basso Be Tumo, we're talking about Tumas Aguf. Hakosuv medaber. So the Gemara presents presents a very complex kind of a almost a gzeirah shavah of tumaso olav in order to prove that we're talking about tumas haguf. Because if we didn't introduce that gzeirah shavah, then we'd be stuck with the problem that it says tumaso olav, which is in lashon zachar. That has to be referring l'chora to the basar, otherwise lashon zachar is inappropriate, because if you're talking about the person who's called the nefesh in this context over and over again, then you would have to employ the lashon akeva. So the Gemara, the Braisa, has to work overtime to prove that we're talking about tumas aguf, and is only successful in doing so based on the equation to the pasuk in Bamidbar Yutes in the case of bias migdash bituma. The Braisa now offers a number of alternative ways of determining that we're talking about tumas aguf. Rav Yossi Omer, hoil v'nemru kodshim b'loshin rabim, v'nemru tumah b'loshin yachid, is therefore b'tumas aguf hakosu medaber. The word shlomim here in this pasuk, it says v'zevach asher tochal basa mizevach hashlomim. Shlomim is loshon Rabim. Now, I'm not exactly sure what would be a Lashon Yachid in this case. And anyway, but it says Tuma B'Lashon Yachid. It says V'Tumaso Olav. Now, if the words Olav, Tumaso Olav, were referring to the Basar HaZevach, then it should have said it in plural, V'Tumas'am Aleihem, in Lashon Rabim, in order to be consistent with the Lashon Rabim that it says Zevach HaShlomim. It must be, therefore, that we're talking about Tumas HaGuf, Now, again, if the intention was Tumas HaKodesh, then it should have said V'tumasam Aleh B'loshen Rabim. That's how Rashi interprets. So the Shita Mekbet says, has a slightly different interpretation. He said, Im Kein Hayelo Lomar Nemu Shlomim B'loshen Rabim. It doesn't say Shlomim B'loshen Rabim. It says Kodshim B'loshen Rabim. In any event, he offers a different interpretation that Rabbi Yossi is coming to explain the drasha, the limud of the Tanakhama, that it's so poshutim that the pasuk kol ish here in Vayikra Chav Beis is referring to Tumas HaGuf, and since it says Kodshim B'loshin Rabin, therefore we assume it's Tumas HaGuf. So now, just to present a summary of what we have, the Braisa offers two different alternatives as to how we know that we're talking about Tumas HaGuf. The first one is through some sort of a Hekesh or Xerishava of Tumasa Olav that appears in the parasha of Bias Migdash B'Tuma. And the second interpretation, that of Rabbi Yossi, is we derive it from the fact that the Torah shifts from Kodshim, which is in Lashon Rabim, to Tuma, which is Lashon Yachid. And if it's Tumas Lashon Yachid, it's not referring, if it was referring to the Besar HaZevach, the Besar HaShlomim, then it should have been in Lashon Rabim, it should have said Tumasam Aleichem. But if we're shifting now over to the Gavra, the Tumas HaGuf, then it makes sense that the shift is now to Lashon Yachid. Now we have a third possibility, and that's Rebbe. Rebbe says that let's take a look at the very next pasuk. We've been focusing our attention on pasuk Chav. In the next pasuk, it says, "V'nefesh ki tiga b'chol tameh b'tumas adam b'tumas behemo b'chol sheketz tameh v'ochal mibsar zevach hashlamim asher l'Hashem v'nichrusa nefesh ahimei amel." And that pasuk is clearly a reference to Tumas HaGuf, because it says in the pasuk V'ochal mipsar zevach hashlomim, and we assume that the V'ochal is referring to the nefesh at the beginning of that pasuk, ki tiga b'chol tomei, who contracted Tuma. And now the Torah is telling us that he's not allowed to eat basar kodesh, and he does so, he gets karis. Now we have a fourth possibility as to how we know that the parasha is talking about Tumas HaGuf and not Tumas Basar, from the fact that the pasuk is talking about a case of the original pasuk, I should say, that goes back to pasuk Yutes. There it says HaBasar Sheyiga B'Kol Tomei Lo Ye'Ochel. That's clearly addressing the case of an Adam who eats Basar Tomei. And the language of the Tumaso Olav in our pasuk, in pasuk Chaf, the next pasuk, is B'misha Tuma Parachas Mimenu Yotza Basar She'en Tuma Parachas Mimenu. So there's a shift here from pasuk Yutes to pasuk Chaf, and in pasuk Yutes the Torah is talking about where the Basar is Tomei. That's clear, it's explicit in the pasuk. But then when we shift over to the next pasuk, it says Tumaso Olav, it means that right now he's Tameh, but down the line he's going to become Tar when he goes to the mikvah. So therefore it's called Tuma Sheparachas Mimena. It's going to be removed. However, Yotza Basar Shein Tuma Parachas Mimena, in the case of the Basar, it became Tameh. There's no way of being Metayaret by putting into a mikvah. And those are the four ways that we had so far a proof. Omar Mar, the Braisa quotes Rebbe Omer, that it says V'ochal in this very next pasuk, which is pasuk Chaf Aleph, V'ochal mipsar zevach shlomim, and that means that we're talking about Tumas HaGuf HaKosam Medaber. So Gemara says, what does Rebbe mean when he says Betumas HaGuf HaKos Medaber? Just because it says V'ochal, my mashma. What did he see in the words V'ochal that meant that he is eating it bituma. Maybe it means that the kadshim is bituma. And since the first pasuk in this entire unit is addressing the case of, I'm sorry, not the first pasuk, I should say the previous pasuk, which is pasuk chaf, addresses the case of tumas haguf. So then maybe the next pasuk is talking about tumas haguf kimashma uso. And therefore the first pasuk should be referring to tumas basar. And just to reiterate the question of the Gemara on Rebbe, how does Rebbe know that the word vi'achal implies tumas haguf? Even though we're talking about tumas haguf in the previous pasuk, but nevertheless maybe the second pasuk is talking about, let me just read it to you. He says that the pasuk says v'nefesh ki tiga b'chol tamei, and then it says v'ochal mipsar hazevach hashlamim ishema pasuk hasheni achen midar b'tumas haguf kimashma uso, but a pasuk harishon midar b'tumas basar kimashma uso. In other words, when we have these two psukim one near the other, pasuk chaf aleph, and clearly the mashmos of pasuk chaf aleph is that we're talking about tumas haguf, but in the case of pasuk chaf, we have more of an inclination, a push to assume we're talking about tumas basar, and that's because of the shift from nefesh b'loshen nekeva to the word olav b'loshen zachar, which means that we're no longer talking about the tumas hagavra, guf, but rather tumas habasar. So therefore the Gemara is asking a question now, how Rebbe derived the conclusion that vitumaso olav is indicative of nefesh shatochal. Again, even though it's clear, it's explicit that Pasuk Chaf Aleph is addressing the case of Tumas Haguf, but how does that prove from Rebbe's perspective that the previous Pasuk, Pasuk Chaf, is also talking about Tumas Haguf? Maybe the second Pasuk, that's Pasuk Chaf Aleph, is talking about Tumas Haguf, but the first Pasuk is talking about Tumas Habasar. And again, we're going to prove that from the fact that it says V'tumaso Olav. It doesn't say Tumaso Leha, using the feminine, which would imply that the Vitumas Olav is going back to the Nefesh and the Gavra, but rather Vitumas Olav is referring to the Basar. So the Gemara is going to clarify this point. Omar Rava, again, we're trying to figure out how we know that this Pasuk Chaf, is definitely referring to Tumas HaGavra, Tumas HaGuf. So Rava says, first he makes a general statement, and he says, Kol kra delo mefarish le Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avodimi, or Kol masnisa delo mefarish le Rav Ziri lo mefarish. In other words, who's the balabas on interpreting psukim? That's going to be Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avodimi. And who is the balabas who knows how to interpret the brisos? It's got to be Rav Ze'iri, or some have the Girsa Ze'iri. And if you don't have, says Rava, neither Rav Yitzchak bar Avodimi to interpret Psukim, and if you don't have access to Ze'iri to interpret Brisos, then Lo Mefarsha, we're really in the dark. We can't do an adequate job. And this is all an introduction to quote Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avodimi, who is the expert, according to Rava, the final word on Pirush HaPsukim, and to try to listen to what he, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avodimi, commented with regard to these two Psukim that we're studying here. Ho'ilu pasach ha'kosu b'loshe nekeva, with regard to the Adam, the Torah uses the language of nekeva, namely nefesh, v'nefesh lo tiga b'kol tameh. And not only that, v'siyei b'loshon nekeva, that's when the Torah spoke about the onesh, the person, it says, v'nichrasa ha'nefesh ha'hibe ha'meh, again, b'loshon nekeva. So we started with loshon nekeva, we ended with loshon nekeva, but wedged in the middle is v'loshon zachar v'emtza. The language of the Tumaso Olav, right there in the middle between the two nefesh, is a loshon zachar. And if a person eats, it says v'ochal, which is also v'loshon zachar. So he says nimtza shepamayim koreh shepa'amim koreh hakosav liyodam ochal v'loshon zachar. And therefore, Yesh Lomar Sha'afit Tumasa Olav, which is mentioned in the first pasuk here, in Loshen Zachar B'Tumasa Guf HaKosim Medaber. Keep in mind that the word V'Ochal appears in pasuk Chof Aleph. That's clearly, explicitly referring to Tumasa Guf, and the Torah uses Loshen Zachar. So if we use the if we notice that the Torah used the word Loshen Zachar V'Ochal, which we know for sure is talking about Tumas HaGuf, let's assume the Torah is consistent, and in the previous pasuk where it refers to Kares, the Isur Kares for this Achila, the words V'Tumasa Olav, like the word V'Ochal, are written in Loshen Zachar, referring to the Tumas HaGuf. Rashi here embellishes this a little. He says that it's logical to assume that this parasha is talking about Ochel Kodesh B'Tumas HaGuf, because we know that the first pasuk that we started with, which is pasuk Yutes, ends with the words Kol Tor Yochal Basar. And just one second, a basar Kol Tor Yochal Basar is referring to the issue of Tumas HaGuf. Okay, so and there's definitely a shift here in Pasuk Yutes. The first part of Pasuk Yutes explicitly addresses the case of the Basar is Tomei, the Basar Sheyiga B'chol Tomei, and then it says Lo Yeyochel. But the end of that Pasuk states V'Basar, it says V'Basar Kol Tor Yochel Basar, that's clearly referring to Tumas HaGuf. So the pasuk itself made a shift from Tumas HaKodshim HaBasar to Tumas HaGuf, because it says Kol Tor Yochal Basar. He's talking about the guf of the person, whether he's Torah or Tameh. Now in the pasuk for HaBasar Kol Tor, so that means, okay, that's what we said before, that makes the shift from Tumas HaGuf, from Tumas Basar to Tumas HaGuf. So now we know that the end of Pasuk Yutes is addressing the case of Tumas HaGuf. Therefore, it's logical to assume that the very next Pasuk, which is Pasuk Chof, HaNefesh HaShetochal, is likewise referring to Tumas HaGuf. And we're talking about a case of Kodshim Tahorim, and HaNefesh HaShetochal Basar, he's violating an Issur Kares because Tumasa Olav, because he's Tameh. So that's V'Nefesh Asher Tochal. And the only reason why we got a little bit confused here and had a doubt is because the word Nefesh here is B'Loshon Nekeva, and yet it says V'Tumasa Olav B'Loshon Zachar. So we might be tempted to think, as we indicated earlier, that we're shifting here over to Tumas HaBasar. But now we can prove this all from the third pasuk, which is pasuk Chaf Aleph, which explicitly addresses the case of Tumas HaGuf, even though the pasuk begins B'Loshen Nekeva with the words V'Nefesh Kisiga B'Chol Tomei. Nefesh is in Loshen Nekeva. So therefore, even though we had doubts about the middle pasuk, which was our pasuk Chaf, whether it's a continuation of the end of the previous pasuk Yutes, and we're talking about Tumas HaGuf as opposed to Tumas HaGavra. Well, we don't know, because on the one hand, there was a shift from Lashon Nekeva to Lashon Yachid, which might indicate that the pasuk Chaf is referring to the Basar, which came Tomei. But now, when we look at the third pasuk, that should be the proof text, because the third pasuk is also begins with Lashon Nekeva, and yet it shifts over to Lashon Zachar, and yet it's clear cut, no questions about it, this pasuk is talking about Tumas HaGuf. So therefore we should interpret the pasuk the way the way it would be consistent with everything that learning in these psukim, that we're talking about tumas haguf shel ha'adam. The Gemara now brings a brisa, which Ze'iri is going to interpret. As we saw before, Rava says that the expert, the Balabas, on brisa interpretation is Ze'iri. Masnisa, and it's interesting, some want to say this is the original pirish of Ze'iri, this is the real McCoy pirish of Ze'iri on a brisa, which is being used now as a paradigm to establish that whatever Ze'iri says about brisas, you listen to him very carefully. He's the Balavas on brisa. The Sanya we learned in the brisa, which talking about Hafrasha, I'm sorry, start again. We're talking about a parasha of Achilas Kodshim, Truma Maiser Sheni, Betumas Aguf. And the Torah specifies what's called Kalos and Chamuros. Again, we're not sure exactly what the Kalos are and what the Chamuros are. We're going to get to that right away, Mirtz Hashem. But be that as it may, the Brisa here is addressing the parsha of Achilas Kodshim, Truma Maiser Sheni, Bitumas Haguf. And this Brisa is going to try to analyze why the Torah had to go into such great detail and mention Kodshim and Truma Maiser Sheni, like we wouldn't have been able to learn one from the other. And the Brisa says the following: Im Nemru Kalos. Again, whatever these cases of kalos are, let's say if I want to let the cat out of the bag, we'll talk about Maiser Sheni is a little bit more lenient. So since Kosva Torah, the Torah writes these different types of Achilas Kodesh Betumas Aguf, and it mentions the Kalim, let's say Maiser Sheni, is Lomen Emru Chamuros, why did the Torah feel compelled to mention even the more Chomer? Again, we still don't know exactly what Kal and Chomer means here. We're going to get to that very soon. The Emnemer Chamuros, Lomen Emru Kalos, if the Torah wants to tell us the Chumros, then why does it have to mention the Kalos? Now again, in the first argument, the Gemara is saying Lomen Emru Chamuros, maybe the Gemara is implying, the Brice is implying that we can derive the Chamuros with the Kavachomer from the Kalos. Then it says, but the Torah specifies the Chamuros and Lomen Emru Kalos. It must be that Kalos somehow goes down one Madriga in its severity, and we'd like to understand what that means. Now, we also want to ask the following question, that since the Torah has already mentioned different scenarios in which you would be chayav for achilas kodshim betuma, why did the Torah feel compelled to mention the kalim? Because the kalim could clearly be derived from the chamurim. So the Brisa itself answers this question and says, "Im nemu kalos velo chamuros, ha'isi omer ala kalos belav, ve'ilo ala chumros b'misa." Is therefore the Torah had to spell out chamuros to teach us that they don't get any punishment more severe than that of a classical lav. So again, the Brisa is now justifying why the Torah had to mention chamuros, because we would have learned Chamuros with the Kal V'Chomer from Kalos in terms of the Iser of Achilas Kodshim. And again, we're talking about Tumas Aguf and Achilas Kodshim in the cases that we mentioned of Kodshim, Truma, and Maiser Sheni. So he's got Tumas Aguf. Why did the Torah feel compelled to mention the Chamuros? And the answer is, says the Brisa, we would have said that if not mentioning Chumros and Chamuros and equating Chamuros with Kalos, we would have said on our own logic that if the Kalos can maximize the maximum punishment they can get is an Onish Malkus for a Lav, maybe in the case of Chamuros, there should be a Misa Bidei Shamayim. Is therefore, the Torah says explicitly chamuros, to teach us that the chamuros are also to be judged and punished in terms of a violation of Allah. And now you'll ask me the flip question side, im nemru chamuros v'lo nemer kalos. Why do I need kalos? Is I yisi omer ala chamurus ye chayev v'ala kalos ye potur. We would have thought perhaps that in the case of the chamurus he gets malchus, and in the case of kalos, when we say he's potur, it means that he didn't have any iser whatsoever in the case of kalos. The Torah is only prohibited chumro. So now we're saying that in the case of achila, in the chamura situation, you generate achiv malchus, which means that the kalos of potur legamri. The basic level, the bottom level, is going to be malchus. Is lekach nemar kalos to teach us that even on the kalos there's an onish malchus. So now the Gemara tries to analyze and clarify this braisa. My kalos umay chamurus. The Gemara is going to go through any number of possible interpretations of this braisa and the classification of kalos and chamurus. The Gemara is going to reject all of them until finally we can introduce the interpretation of Zairi, who, as we saw, Rava gives him the accolade of being the balabas on braisas. No one can interpret braisas the way Zairi can. But we're not ready yet for Zairi. The Gemara is going to try its own logic before Zairi and say the following. My kalos umay chamuros ilema, if we're going to say that kalos is maiser sheni, because the Torah enjoins us from eating maiser sheni v'tuma, that's relatively an iser kal. Why? Because a tvul yom is allowed to eat from maiser sheni. That's a special clue in Maisa Sheni. So in other words, this Tomei went into the mikvah. He hasn't yet achieved Harif Shemesh. He hasn't waited long enough for Shkia, you know, for the day to pass. And the halacha is that in such a case, since he had Tevilah, therefore he's considered almost like a tar and he's allowed to eat Maisa Sheni. He's only Mechusar a second Tevilah. But immediately in the aftermath of the first tevila, he is allowed to eat maaser sheni. Now, from whence do we know this? What's the source, the origin for this halacha that a tevul yom is allowed to eat from maaser sheni? So in the note here, he points out that a tomei shetaval, even though ain't tefilosim ateres also lachila b'truma, nor b'chala, nor b'vikurim, and therefore he needs harif shemesh, but that's not true with regard to maaser sheni. So maaser sheni, in comparison to kodshim and truma, is considered kala. And we see this in the fact that a tful yom is allowed to eat maaser sheni. So that puts maaser sheni into a category of its own. It becomes an iser kal. You know, one is tempted to think that maybe maaser sheni is an iser gavra, not an iser cheftza. But in any event, the Gemara says that maaser sheni is an iser kal, and therefore, as soon as he goes to mikvah, on the very same day that he contracted tumah, even though he's a tful yom and he needs mikvah, but nevertheless, I'm sorry, he needs not only mikvah, but he also needs harif shemesh. That's only as far as achilas truma is concerned, but as far as eating tevel is concerned, as far as eating maaser sheni is concerned, he doesn't have to wait till nightfall. The tevil itself is enough of a power of metayer to allow him to eat maaser sheni. Oh, and now we get to the chamuros. The chamuros means not achilas maaser sheni, but achilas truma bituma, which is a very severe iser. And it means that even after the tomei jumped into the mikvah, he's still a tful yom. He hasn't achieved full tara yet. He has to wait till after nightfall. He's eino yochol lechol ad ha'erev. So how do we understand kalos and chamuros? Kalos is a reference to maaser sheni, and chamuros is a reference to truma tmeya. Truma tmeya, if I said that, what I meant to say is chamuros is a reference to eating truma betuma. That's an Isur Chamur. So again, we're classifying that eating Maisa Sheni Betuma is relatively Kal, whereas eating Truma Betuma is relatively Chamur. And then Afkamina is going to be as far as a Tful Yom. A Tful Yom, even without Harif Shemesh, is allowed to eat Maisa Sheni, but he's not allowed to eat Truma until after Harif Shemesh. So the Gemara now rejects this and says it's impossible to interpret the Braisa, the Kalos and Chamuris, as referring to Maisa Sheni and Truma. Why? Because the Braisa says, Hayisi Omer, I would have said, if the Torah had only mentioned Kalos exclusively, and without mentioning the punishment for Chamuros, I would have said that in the case of Chamuros, the punishment is Misa. Because again, in the case of Kalos, we're talking about a regular lav, enjoining a Tomei, in this case even, enjoining a Tomei from eating Maisa Sheni. The punishment, the maximum punishment we can mete out in such a case for violating a lav, is Malkus. But now, if the Torah didn't mention Truma, which is the Chamura, I would have assumed that in the case of Truma, because of the Chumas HaTruma, the punishment has to be jacked up one other notch, and it's not like a regular violation of a lav, which generates a chiyuv malchus, but rather the misa. So again, if I did not have truma, then I would assume that there would be misa in the case of truma. So the Gemara says, if that's the interpretation of the Braisa, then what's this Ayisi Omer? Because in fact, the Torah says explicitly that if a Tomei eats Truma, he's Chayav Misa Bidei Shamayim, Hashtanami Hamba Misa. Even now, after the Torah mentions Achilas Truma Betuma, the Din is Taka that he's Chayav in this case in Onish Misa Bidei Shamayim because of the Tumas Aguf. So you can't tell me that Ayisi Omer in the Braisa means I would have said something implying that it's only a Hava Mina, and that's why the Torah felt compelled to add Truma into the equation. That doesn't make any sense, Ayisi Omer, because the Din in fact is Azoi, namely that a Tomei who eats Truma Betumas Aguf is Chayav Misa Bidei Shamayim. I'm looking now for the pasuk for that. I don't see it right in front of me now, but Amir Sashem will find the pasuk. Fine. So that's question number one. How could you say Ayisi Omer that I would have thought mistakenly that for Achilas Truma Betuma Yechayv Misa Bidei Shemayim? That's not mistakenly. That can't be, because that's in truth exactly what the Torah says. Vesu, now the Gemara asks an additional question. How could the Braisa say V'ilo Nemru if it didn't have an explicit punishment for the Kalos? Then V'lo Ha'omur L'gabi Chamuros, I would assume that the Kalos would have a different punishment than the Chamuros. Let me say that once more. V'ilo Nemru, if it wouldn't have said, the Torah wouldn't have spelled out the punishment in the case of Kalos, nor in the case of Chamuros. If it would have just said the Onesh in the case of Kalos and omitted the Onesh in the case of Chamuros, Ayisi Omer, I would think that in the case of Maisa Sheni, which is relatively Kal, then you get Malkus, and that's all you get Malkus. But I would think, again, in the basic line of reasoning that we're interpreting the Braisa now, I would think that for Achilas Truma, which is a Chamura, is Misa De Shamayim. Again, we know that that's not true, but I mean, we know that that's true L'maskana, so it can't be just Ayisi Omer. That we've already established. That was the first kash, the first objection. But now, he's talking about this Lumbus here, that Achilas Truma, insofar as it's Chamura, would get Misa De Shamayim. How would that be so? The Gemara says, what you would have to do is introduce a Kal V'chomer, and you would have to say that in the case of Achilas Maiser, I'm talking about Maiser Sheni Betuma, then you violate a lav. And we know that Maiser Sheni is relatively Kal, so in the case of Truma, for sure you would get a punishment, and even a greater punishment, more severe punishment. So Gemara says that's impossible, because Dayel Vamin Adin Liels Kid Nidon. If we're going to derive with the Kal Vachomer the din of Truma from the din of Maaseh Sheni, then the din of Truma cannot go beyond that of Maaseh Sheni, because Dayel Vamin Adin Liels Kid Nidon. And therefore, when we derive some one thing from something else with a Kal Vachomer, even though that which we want to derive, which is called the Nilmad, is way, way more chamur, more severe than the Melamed, but nevertheless we're bound by the principle of Dayel Vamin Adin, and we can't impose a punishment that's more severe than the malchus that you get for eating Maaseh Sheni Betuma, because of Dayel Vamin Adin Liels Kenadun. Ella says the Gemara, we have to introduce a different interpretation of Kalos and Chamuros. And now we're going to talk about levels of Tumah. Until now we're talking about the severity of what you eat, B'tameh. You know, you violate an Iser of eating Maaseh Sheni, which is relatively low on the scale. Or did you violate an Iser of eating Truma, which is much more severe on the scale, has the same status as Kodshim. That's all in Roman numeral number one, in Kalos and Chamuros. Now we're up to Roman numeral number two. That Kalos and Chamuros are the relative terms that are used to describe relative Chumras HaTumah. There are many different levels of Tumah. So for example, if you want to know what's considered Kala in this whole discussion, the answer is Tumas Sheretz. And the reason why, relatively speaking, the Tumas Sheretz is a Tumah Kala is because all you need is Mikvah and Harif Shemesh, and you're finished, Gendik, you're no longer Tomei. Oh, so what's Chamuros? Chamuros mentioned in the Brice is the case of a person who eats Kodesh when he's Tomei, and hadn't even contracted his Tumah, but Tumah's mess. And that's called Chamura, because as opposed to the Sheretz case, where he just goes to Mikvah the same day, he waits for Harif Shemesh, in the case of Tumah's mess, he needs Zion, he needs a full counting of 7 days. The Tumah extends for 7 days. And that's called Chamura. Oh, so now let's plug this into the Braisa. Here's the pshat in the Braisa. If we would have only had the Pasuk of the Onesh in the case of Ochel Kodesh Betuma Kala, if we only had that, we would say he's Chayav Malkus, and I would think that Ochel Kodesh Betuma Chamura, if you're talking about not a Tumah Sheretz, but a Tumah's mess, is Ye Onesh Misa B'dei Shamayim. Now, we're making a real jump over here, because we're saying in the case of Tumah Sheretz, which is a Tumah Kala, you're only Chayev for the Averis Alav, and the maximum you get is Malkus. Now you're jumping over to the case of Tumah's mess, of what we call Tumah Chamura, and you're going to postulate that in the case of Tumah's mess, he incurs a chiyuv misa b'dei shamayim. So if the Torah had written the onesh of malchus legabi ochel tumah chamura, then I would have come to the mistaken conclusion that an ochel kodesh b'tumah kala would be potel legamri, because we always lower it one madrega or raise it one madrega. So again, now we have a beautiful pshat in the Braisa, and the Braisa is talking about Kala and Chamur in terms of what kind of Tumah he contracted. And now we know why we have to have both. Because again, let's go through the reasoning. If we only had the case of Tumah Chamura, I'm sorry, let's start the other way. If we would have only had the case, if the Pasuk would have only address the case of the punishment for Tumah Kala, that means he came in contact with the Sheretz, and we would have said, okay, he gets Malkus for this. But we would have thought in the case of Tumah Chamura, if he became Tomei B'Tumah's mess, which is a Tumah Chamura, then we would jack it up to an Onesh Misa. And let's go the other way around. If the Pasuk would have only mentioned the Onesh Malkus, in the case of Tumah Sheretz, Tumah Kala, we would have said that
that ha'ochel kodesh betumah kala might be potel gamri, because I might assume that only in the case of a tumah hamura is there an onesh bidei shamayim, whereas in the case of a tumah kala of tumah sheretz is no, there's no onesh malchus at all. So the Gemara clarifies ubeman. Now you're talking about two different categories of tumayim, whether it's a tumi b'tumah sheretz or it's a tumi tumas mes. But what are the cases? What exactly is the violation of the achilas kodesh? Because he's a gavra, he has tumas aguf. Even truma, if we're talking about a person who's tamei, either tumah kala or tumah chamura, and he eats truma, is idi v'idi ubemisa. Whether he's tamei because of a sheretz or he's tamei because of a mess, in both cases, if he eats truma, he's chayav misa v'dei shamayim. So how could the Braisa say, ha'isi omer al kalos belav, that if he's only tamei tumah sheretz, and I would have concluded that he just simply violates a lav? That can't be, because there's no difference in terms of achilas truma and the chayav misa that's incurred between tamei b'tumah sheretz, which is tumah kala, or tamei b'tumah mes, which is tumah chamura. V'su. Now we furthermore have to ask the following question on this braisa. The braisa says l'kach nemru chamuros dibalav, that the reason why the Torah had to mention the onesh with regard to ochel tumah chamura is in order to teach me that a ochel tumah chamura only gets malchus. How can you say such a thing? Ha b'misahi. If you're talking about truma, then a ochel truma k'shum tamei is chayev misa, albeit misa v'dei shamayim. So we've excluded the possibility that we're talking about achilas truma with a gavru as tumas aguf. Oh, let's try another possibility. Bachilas maser. And here we're turning to daf mem dalet amud aleph. Now, what's the braisa saying over here? It says im lo nemru chamuros ha'isi omer al chamuros b'misa. If the Torah hadn't specified chamuros, I would have said that the punishment is misa. Okay. Now, according to this understanding of the braisa, if the Torah hadn't written the onesh for achilas maaser sheni b'tumah, again, tumah now means tumas mes, because again, we're going through the chamura and then to the kala. So what would we have said if the Torah had not mentioned the onesh for achilas maaser sheni b'tumas mes? I would have thought that the chiyuv onesh is misa b'dei shamayim. The unknown tumah here would have been tumas mes, which is a tumah chamura. I would have thought it's been misa. Why is that so? How do you justify such a havamina, such a conclusion that it would be misa? Hami tuma sheretz kaasya. The basis for tuma chamura and its punishment would be the case of tuma kala, which means if a person incurred a tuma of a sheretz, he came in contact with the sheretz, and now he eats achilas maaser betuma. So the din is that he only gets a chiv malka. So now you're going to tell me, well, Tumas Mes was left out here, so if he's talking Tumas Mes and eats Maaser Sheni, he should get Misa V'dayu Levamin Adin Lios Tenadim Kenidon. You can never have the Nilmad to surpass the Malamid, and therefore there's no justification to come to the conclusion again as a Havamina that there would be a Chiv Misa in the case of Tumas Mes, because you're deriving it from Tumas Sheretz. And Dayel of Amin Adin, in the case of Tumas Sheretz, you're only going to give him an onesh of Malkus. So basically what it comes out is that we have not successfully interpreted Kalos and Chamuris that are mentioned in the Braisa, not with regard to Truma, not with regard to Achilas Maaser Sheni. And we haven't even succeeded in explaining Kalos and Chamuris as Tumas Mes versus Tumas Sheretz. So now, as we said before, the Balabas on Braisa is Ze'iri. It's Omar Ze'iri. Now Ze'iri gives a very sophisticated interpretation of this Braisa. And he says the following. Kalos, in this Braisa, is Tumas Sheretz. So
So we're going with that approach. Chamuros is Tumas Mes. That we had before. But here's what the Bryce has in mind. Ilu Nemar, if we would have just said the case of an Ochel of Kodshim when he's Tomi Bitumas Sheretz, which is the Kala case, then Vinemar, and then we would have said that there's a din of a person who eats Maser Bituma, he violates a lav. And in the case where he eats Truma, he's Chayav Misa. Okay, this is all in the case of Tumas Sheretz, because Tumas Sheretz is called a Tumah Kala in contrast to Tumas, the Chumrah took a Tumah, which is Tumas Mes. And if it would have said that if a person is in violation of Tumah Kala, meaning Maturah Sheretz, and it would have said that in the case of someone who contracted Tumas Sheretz and he went ahead and he ate Maaser Sheni while he was Tomei, he violates a lav. And then we would have concluded, based on this Tumah Kala, that if he would have eaten Truma, and again, a Tomei who eats Truma is Chayav Misa B'dei Shamayim, but all this again is kalos, meaning that if the person contracted Tumas Sheretz, then we say that the maximum that he can be chayv in the case of Maser is Malkus. But in the case of Truma, as we said earlier, it doesn't matter what level of Tumah is, if even if it's a Tumah Kala of Sheretz, then if he eats the Truma Bituma, he incurs a chayv Misa B'dei Shamayim. But now let's go on. V'lo Nemra, but there's no mention of Chamuros. Chamuros now is Tumas Mes. Ha'isi Omer, Kalos al Kalos Belav, the Kalos al Chamuros B'Misa. I would have thought that if he's Tomei B'Tumas Sheretz, okay, that's the case of Kala, then if he eats Maiser, which is relatively Kal compared to Truma, then he violates a lav. And then I would have said the kalos al chamuros, that in the case where he incurred tumah by having contact with the sheretz, if he went ahead and he ate truma, that's considered chamura, then the onish would be misa bidei shamayim. And then I would go a step further and I would say me the kalos al hachamuros b'misa is chamuros nami al kalos b'misa l'kach nemer chamuros. Kach Nemru Chamuros. The Torah had just given me the din of Kalos, which means, in Zairi's frame of reference, someone who contracted Tumah Sheretz, and he went and he ate Kalos, which means, while he was Tomei B'Tumah Sheretz, he ate Maaser, and he violates a lav. And then, if the din of Ochel Truma, which is again and Onesh Misa, this we know no matter what Tumah he has, even if he has Tumah Kal, if he eats Truma, he's Chayav Misa B'dei Shamayim. V'lo Nemra Tumas Mes, and it wouldn't say anything about Chamuros, which means he contracted a Tumah Chamur of Zayin Yomim of Tumas Mes. Ha'isi Omer, I would have said, Kalos al Kalos B'la. If he's Tomei B'Tumas Sheretz, which is a Tumas Kala, and he ate Maaser, which is an Isa Kal, then he violates a lav. I would have gone on and said that Kalos al Chamuros, which means if he contracted a Tumas Sheretz and eats Truma, which is very Chamur to eat Truma, and he gets Misa, we know that he gets Misa B'dei Shamayim, then I would have added and said, Mida Kalos al Chamuros B'Misa, since in the case where he contracted Tumas Sheretz, if he went ahead and he ate Truma, so even though he contracted a Tumah Kala, but he ate an Isa Chomer of Truma and his Chayav Misa, then let's derive from that the conclusion that whenever there's some sort of a Tzad Chomer in the Achila, there should be a Chiyuv Misa, an Onish Misa. Therefore, Chamuras Nami,
Al Kalos, in the case where he contracted a Tumas Mes, which is a Tumah Chamura, and he went ahead and he ate Maiser Sheni, which is an Iser Kal, he should get Misa. Because we've already established that if he was Tomei a Tumah Kal of Sheretz and he ate an Iser Chamur of Truma, he gets Misa B'dei Shemaim. So we see that all we need is one element of Chumra. And that could either be in the Truma that he's eating, or the Chumra could be in the Tumas Mes that he contracted. So even though he contracted a Tumas Mes, a Truma Chamura, and he went ahead and he ate Maiser Sheni, which is an Iser Kal, I would still say that Vibalt, that since we have the element of Chumra on the side of the Tumah, that's enough to generate a Chiyuv Misa, even though the eating wasn't nature of an Iser Kal because he ate Maiser Sheni. Is Lakach Nemru Chamuros. Therefore, the Torah had to specify Tumas Mes Chamura to teach you that even if he contracted a Tumah Chamura, the Achilas Maiser Sheni would not generate a Chiyuv Misa, but rather only a Chiyuv Malkus. So that's how Zairi interprets this Braisa. Now the next part of the sugya goes back to our Mishnah that says Kol Sheyesh Lo Matirin Bein Li Adam Bein Lo Mizbeach Chayovin Alav Mishum Pigo. It means that you need a matirin, a dover matir, and on that nitar there could be pigul. And the Gemara now quotes a braisa that's going to derive the source for this, Tana Rabbanan. And this is all going to come back to a pasuk in Vayikach of Beis V'Nazru Mikodshei B'nei Yisrael, which is coming as a ribui for the din pigul in all of Kodshei, V'Nazru Mikodshei B'nei Yisrael. And the braisa clarifies, oh, eno mevi. I, Shema, perhaps what's being said here is that since in the parish of Pigul, the Torah mentions Korban Shlomim in this context, is eno mevi, I would think that there's no possibility of Pigul, ella kayotze b'shlomim, only Karbonos that have a din that's similar to Shlomim. And therefore I would derive ma'a Shlomim, miuchadim, Necholim Shnei Yomim V'Layla Echad. Maybe the din of Pigul is appropriate for Shlomim because of the din of Necholim L'Shnei Yomim. Is there for Af Kol any other carbon Shnechol Shnei Yomim V'Layla Echad? Is there would be a din of Pigul? But if it's Hanechal L'Yom V'Layla Minayin, I don't have a source yet for the case of Nechal Yom V'Layla. I know about Shlomim, I know about Bechor, I know about Maiser. These have 2 days and one night, and they're similar to Shlomim. But how do I know that the din of Pigul applies even to something that is only eaten for Laila V'Yom? I should say Yom V'Layla, because it's the day the carbon was brought, and the following night, which is Toda, Chatas, Osham, El Nazir, Shalmit Tzibur. In any event, in all those, Minayin, how do I know there's a din of Pigul, Talmud Lomar? Therefore, the Torah tells me, in the Parsha of Pigul, this is back in Vayikra Zayin, quote, V'im he'ochal ye'ochal mipsar zerach shlomo of b'yom ha'shlishi, lo ye'rotza makarvoso, lo ye'choshiv lo, Pigul, ye'ev ha'nefesh ochels men avonatisa. So the pasuk says, "Im he ochel yochel mi besar," and that's an extra word in the pasuk. Is the word mi besar is going to be marbe any carbon shiorim necholim is considered mi besar, and that's included in the din of pigul. The Bryson now is going to ask a question about Ola. The word mibsar in this pasuk is superfluous, and therefore it's going to teach me the prohibition of Achilas Pigul in all those karbonos that we mentioned earlier, the entire list that's only Nechal Yom V'Layla. And now what does it mean when it says Kol Sheshyarov Necholim? I only know those cases of karbonos where the basar, if there's any remainders
are eaten, those are subject to the law of Pigul. Now, the concept of meat remainders here, of shiarov, is a reference to the meat that remains after the dam is nizrak on the mizbeach, and the emurim on niktar as well on the mizbeach. That's called shiarov. So that kind of case has pigul to it, because that's already similar to shlomim. But ola she'ein shiaren echolam minayim, in the case of ola, any meat has to be burnt on the mizbeach. How do we know this pigul? Tamid lomar, because the Torah used the word zevach, and zevach implies all types of karbonos. Anything that's subject to zvicha, which includes ola as well. As it could have said in the pasuk vim hey ochel ye ochel mishlamov, why does it say mipsar zelach? Those are superfluous words, and they're extending to conclude all the karbonos and even ola. Minayin l'rabos ha'ofos ve'hamnochos. How do we know that even ofos or menochos are included in the iser of pigul? Ad shani marbe log shemen shel mitzora. And the Gemara, the Braisa, is now looking even for a ribui for the log shemen of mitzora that's also subject to the iser of pigul. Talmud lomar, this I have to learn and derive from a pasuk in Vayikach of Beis where it says asher hem makdishim li, which includes all types of karbonos, and therefore we extend the din of pigul to apply to all types of karbonos based on the ribui of asher hem makdishim li. So that's, I think, where we're going to stop here, and in Mirtz Hashem we'll go a little bit weiter here on Daf Mem Dalet Omer Aleph tomorrow.